Welcome to Ramplify, a student-centered, career-focused podcast hosted by the Center for Career Equity, Development, and Success at Suffolk University. This podcast is used to highlight the resources offered in the university's Career Center while amplifying the voices of everyone who contributes to our vibrant community.
The diversity of our community is one of the many things that we take pride in here at Suffolk. Suffolk is home to students from more than 90 countries and regions, representing about 15% of the entire Suffolk student population. Today, we are going to specifically discuss tips, services, and resources that international students could take advantage of to be successful in their career search. My name is Vicky Lee, and I have the privilege of serving as the Associate Director of Career Equity, Access, and Global Career Development at the Center for Career Equity, Development, and Success. Joining with me today is Adesua Ibeniwika, Director of Career Equity and Access. Ade, so glad that we have the opportunity to chat about some of our work supporting our international students on their career development journey today.
Before we jump into our discussion around international students and what the Career Center does to support international students on their career development journey, Ade, would you mind sharing with us why is it important for the Career Center to foster career equity, especially when supporting students from historically marginalized communities, including international students?
Absolutely. Thanks, Vicky. I'm excited that we're having this conversation because we are very fortunate and to be working in a university that recognizes disparity in graduate outcomes for students, especially students from historically marginalized communities and students who have to navigate the complex employment structures in the U.S. and maybe have some areas where they are unfamiliar with things. And we also are grateful that this is something that was in the strategic plan that ensure that we work actively to increase access and reduce barriers. And I think that's why the both of us are here and we have the jobs that we do. So thank you to Suffolk University for recognizing that. But to answer your question, I think a couple of things are relevant to this conversation. And one would be graduation outcomes. I believe that every student who comes to Suffolk should have a graduate outcome that matches the value of that degree that they've earned here. And we know that most students go to college in this age for social mobility. And at the end of the day, you want to get a good job that pays you a living wage. You want to be a contributing citizen of the world, amongst all the other benefits that college bestows, a college degree bestows. You want to do well. And so if you look at graduate outcomes, we know that the outcomes are not the same for everyone. And that's one of the reasons that we believe in career equity. But we also believe that differences are good. So I will paraphrase one of my favorite quotes of all time. It's that every person is like other people because we have a shared humanity. We are like some people because we have a shared culture. And then we're just like no one else because you're an individual. And so when we look at the differences that we have, we recognize in the Center for Career Equity, Development, and Success that people's needs are different. And the question that we're asking ourselves is, what are those needs and how can we make an impact? And if you look at the programming and partnerships that we have fostered over the last few years, as a brand new, revamped career center, you will appreciate some of the programming and partnerships that we really have worked on. And I am really excited that one of the things that stands out is identifying what international students need. And when I think of international students in particular, two things stand out for me. One is an admiration. And the other is the work that we do. And I'll talk about the admiration first. I think about a typical 18-year-old or a typical 20-something, 30-something graduate student, and you make up your mind that you want to earn a degree in the US, and you pack your things and you leave home and you make a new home in the US. For me, that's inspirational because at 18, that's a lot of responsibility that you are taking on yourself. And if you're older, coming into graduate school, you might have to leave family behind in terms of a new family that you started. And there are other things that come into place that I recognize that power. But then they graduate and they have to get a job. And that's where you hear the lingo of CPT, OPT. And it's like, what's that? And these are things that for some students, they've never heard of these words before. And now they have to learn about these words and they have to learn how that impacts their ability to get a job. And I think that's where in the Career Center, we've really focused on thinking about like, what are the needs of our students, especially where there are barriers and disparities? How can we reduce the barriers? How can we increase access? And I know that you're going to talk a lot about programming, but I just want to call out the Activate Your Career Plan, which is something that we created because we realized that students need to understand the job search process. And that has been beneficial for undergraduates. And now you have added the component of allowing graduate students to also benefit from this. And I think, you know, that's part of that inclusion that we're always working to. And I'm really proud that that's something that we have created. It's a small piece, but it's a piece that helps us advance the puzzle for our students. So I'll stop there for now.
Great. Thank you, Ade. I recently have been reviewing one of the videos conducted or posted by the MIT Sloan School of Business, and they were talking about how individuals really needed to recognize the differences between individuals and how even though we don't want to stereotype folks from a certain country or region of the world, those are actually like the national average. Like, it is the starting point for us to better understand their needs. And so having that in mind, I think, you know, recognizing that international students are actually facing additional challenges in navigating their job search process, I think definitely there's a need to better support them, because especially the complexity of immigration and visa, the limited time that they can spend in the United States, and even the transition, I would say, especially for graduate students, they're only here for a short period of time. And for undergrad, they left home perhaps for the first time in their teenage years. And how are we going to be able to find ways to recognize that there are challenges, even though the challenges that we have may be very general through our interaction with them. We get to learn a little bit more about their own story and how can we provide tailored, customized support to meet their specific, unique needs.
Yeah, and I'm excited that we'll talk about some, you know, of the tailored things that programming and ways that we're going to address some of that. But I just want to quickly share something that an international student told me yesterday. And we're talking about, you know, using career services. And we talked about, I asked him in particular why it takes time for some international students to engage with us. And he said that when you come to the US, and this, I'm paraphrasing what he said, when you come to the US, like, there's so many priorities that you have. You have your classes, you have, you build a network, you have to settle down. And so for him, coming from a culture where your grades are so important, he had to prioritize school and getting situated. And so it wasn't intentionally ignoring the career development part. It was just based on the process of how things worked back home. It was like, hey, if I get really good grades, I'll be good. And then by the time he's engaging with Career Center, it's like, hey, you could have done this like a couple months ago. And it's like, what? I did not know that. But I always say better late than never. And I think one of the things that we've been really working on is how do we get students to engage with us sooner rather than later. But just knowing from that one student's perspective of like, this is how I prioritize things, I think really helps us think, how do we make sure that experience is something that another student does not have to go through?
For sure. And on top of that, we have the cultural adjustments piece, we have mm-hmm. the transition piece, we have the homesickness piece, yes. community building. I think the entire international student experience is so complex. And as much as we wanted to think that is eventually they will see the value in utilizing Career Center resources, sometimes it does not come in the first day.
Right.
Or they may not even understand what the Career Center actually do. They may think that we are a placement office while yes. we are not. A colleague of mine really loved this quote is, we teach them how to fish so that they can feed themselves mm-hmm. instead of just giving you the fish. And I think that is exactly it really helps summarize our approach here. We are providing you all the specific tools to try to make your life a little easier, but you are essentially going to have to make good use of these resources so that you can make the most out of this whole experience here at Suffolk, make the most out of your degree, and just really trying to utilize resources in general.
Before we talk about all the wonderful things that you're going to share later, I just, you know, want to bring in your experience, because I know that you are a former international student and you've been through the job search and internship search process. Can you share with us what your experience looks like?
Yeah, of course. I was 18 years old when I boarded the plane from Hong Kong. I am originally from Hong Kong. I came to the U.S. when I was 18 to pursue college. I really thought that I was only going to finish my undergraduate degree and head home without knowing anything about, oh, I can actually work in the States. Oh, I could work in the States or just get some experience. And turn out everything, it's like a happenstance. It's like a planned happenstance. It just happened. And I would say, before I kind of jump into my story, I wanted to highlight that having a friend who would push your limit is critical. Instead of staying in the comfort zone, getting out of your comfort zone is key. Or if you are not ready to be outside of the comfort zone, stand at the border, the margin of the comfort zone, and be ready to go explore. The reason why I said that is in my first year as an undergraduate student, I was a human development and family studies major. Nobody in my family knows what I actually study, because it is a social science degree, and it is not sociology, it is not social work, it is not psychology. It's kind of sitting right in the middle where I study families. And I often think about my experiences. I don't know what my potential is as an 18-year-old. Really, I just wanted to have friends. I just wanted to get through school. I just wanted to figure life out. But turn out I happened to have a friend who said, you know, Vicky, you did a whole lot of involvement and engagement in your high school years. You were a child counselor. You represented Hong Kong to be one of the delegation to actually talk about internet safety, domain issue of internet, and interacting with different delegations from around the world. You were doing a whole lot of child right advocacy work. You can actually do an internship here. You are qualified. And my imposter syndrome kicked in and was like, I don't know whether I was good enough at all. And really, that friend was the friend who really pushes me to recognize my own good, like how good I am, what are my strengths, and support me in putting together the first resume ever. After my first year of undergraduate program, I was able to land an internship in a nonprofit that is directly related to my major. And through that friend, I was also able to land an on-campus job through networking. It was his roommate's supervisor who was hiring, and I was like, I need a job. And that's how I got into working my first on-campus job in higher education. And that was how I found my passion, and that is how it got me into where I am right now, working closely with college students and graduate students in a wide variety of settings. During my time, I have completed CPT through my internship, and I've worked abroad just because I have hit the wall about CPT possibilities, not being able to really secure off-campus opportunity in the United States. So I worked abroad and was able to secure position for OPT, and then was able to secure work visa sponsorship to remain in the US. I've been through that visa immigration alphabet soup, especially pertaining the international student portion of it. And honestly, like, it all comes down to how much you're willing to push yourself, and how much I'm very grateful for that friend who has pushed me enough to take the first step the first summer after my freshman year. And that has really set me up for success all these years. And I was able to stay after my undergraduate years and went straight to graduate school, was able to secure graduate assistantship. So I continue my on-campus work and was able to get opportunity to work abroad so that I can broaden my horizon and kind of diversify my background, and was able to land a full-time job, continuing my passion supporting international students, still having that idea of having family and building connection and communities at the core of my work. So I'm not sure if that really answers the questions, but it is a long time coming. And again, I think it's just have been very fortunate that there was the friend who has always been around, having that person who gives you the courage and confidence to kind of keep yourself going and just one step at a time. That's how I got here.
Glad to hear it, and you're here. So yep. We're happy you're here. So what are some challenges that international students must overcome while navigating their American job and internship search?
Great question, and I think there are three main parts of these. Number one is definitely the language barrier. That could be the first challenge. A lot of international students may come to the US not speaking or using English language as much before they come. While they have the competency to speak English, it may be the confidence, it may just be they're hesitant to learn, or they just don't use it enough. And I think sometimes folks are so aware of their accent, their grammar, and just kind of overlook the power of just connecting with people through body language or other kind of communication method. While I recognize that there are language barriers, there are things that you may not know enough to, let's say, describe things in English, or you just don't have the word to express it or articulate your thought properly. That is one of the challenges that a lot of international students may face, and it is almost like a no-brainer. It's just like how Americans may travel to Europe and not speak Czech, for instance. How are you going to be able to go in with some knowledge of Czech and be able to navigate Prague like a pro? And I think that's what international students are going through. Number two, obviously, is the immigration and visa complications. As Ade has mentioned, like, the term CPT, OPT pop out of nowhere. They may or may not know it exists. Those acronyms existed. They mention about it in orientation, but during orientation, when you're sitting through 15 presentations in 3 days, how much of those contents are actually going to stick? And do you actually know the importance of knowing those in order to better set you up for success in communicating with employers for opportunities off campus? Mm-hmm. And third, the biggest piece, I think, is cultural. We talk about cultural differences so much, but when I talk about the challenges, it's not only about the cultural differences, not recognizing the US way of life, that's what I call it. So the professional branding, the leveraging LinkedIn, the networking is more important right. than anything. And you can't really land a job based on a family member, maybe. And that part is the US way of life that I think maybe you have a good idea, but until you are here, you're like, oh yeah, so 80% of the jobs are not out there. So how am I going to deal with it? And obviously, I think from this perspective, it also extended to what are some of the hidden rules in U.S. workplaces that they just don't understand? What is okay? What is the acceptable professional etiquette interacting with folks? In some culture, when you agree with people, you don't nod, you shake your head. And so how are you going to be able to understand what is the U.S. norm per se, so that they would make employers or recruiters know that or feel that they are competent, they could be quote unquote fit, but then they can also be a value add to their company. And so those are the main, I think, challenges that they go through. And obviously to add on top of all of those, it all comes down to also the social cultural adjustments, the community building, the homesickness, the connectedness between people. Are you able to find people are you able to find someone who can be reliable in the area? Or basic things. Am I even able to get food from home? When you are sick, you miss food from home, where can I get the something that is close to what my mom makes, right?
Absolutely. We talk a lot about the challenges that international students might face during the job search process. What about the benefits of being an international student? What about the value add that they bring to the U.S., their employer, their university, their community around them? Let's talk about some benefits. There's got to be many, because I know that I work with so many international students, and being someone who wasn't born in the U.S., I see those benefits. So what about them?
Great question. I call them the international student superpower. I always challenge international students to think about what is your superpower. Ada, you made a great point about how international students just pack up their life and move to the United States so far away from home. They pack their dreams with them in their suitcases, along with limited amount of food, clothes, adjustment, aspiration, everything. But ultimately, what they don't recognize is that courage is actually something that employers would appreciate, because that shows that they are willing to take risks. Mm-hmm. And obviously, on top of that, being alone so far away from home, so many of our international students came on their own, their families are far away, critical thinking, problem solving skills, they may actually have a leg up just because families are so far, now that you are pretty much forced to make decisions for yourself. And so are you able to actually execute in a timely manner to make the best decision for yourselves as well? And on top of that, adaptability, flexibility, those are big things too. On top of all of those, I think the soft skills, and on top of that, soft skills and multilingual skills, a lot of our international students came in with many language proficiencies, and those are something that employers would also love to leverage. But on top of all of those, I would always think that what they overlooked is their technical skills. International students, so many of them actually came to the U.S. with a goal to pursue a more technical degree. And in the United States, while there is a shortage in tech workers in the industry, that makes international students a valuable asset out there in the market. And whether international students are able to, you know, sell themselves in a way where they can highlight some of their technical skills, I think that is also a strength that not a whole lot of international students would think about, because their superpower is really not solely on the soft skills perspective, but also the hard skill. What do you know about tech? What do you know about other softwares that are not commonly known in the United States, for example? Can you bring in that innovation into the United States, knowing that a lot of foreign-born individuals happen to actually drive innovation in the United States and also drive development of startups in the United States, which contribute obviously to the economic development in the United States as well. And so kudos to all international students who always bring in their brave, courageous, innovative mind and being willing to jump in anytime to just really tackle problems one thing at a time, one day at a time.
Yeah. So employers, if you're listening, like you should, know that they're innovative, adaptable, and they build their social cultural competence in many ways. And that's a superpower for you and the students to collaborate on. So now let's shift gears and talk about what the Career Center does and how we have been able to move the needle on some of the challenges and enhance some of the superpowers, as you call them, that our students are leveraging every day. So talk about the work that you're doing as well.
Great. Thank you for the opportunity. Love to share this with our international student population. Since I started in my role about a little over a year ago, I was very fortunate to have a lot of support in developing new programs or revamping existing programs to better meet the needs of our international student population. We recognize the unique needs of our international student population, and that's why we decided to strategically leverage our partnership with different campus offices and departments so that we can curate targeted events that are specifically for international students. Those programs include not only the American Job Search, Job and Internship Search Workshop for international students, the Activate Your Career Plan program for international students, but also the International Alumni Career Networking Panel that we bring in international alumni with lived experience as a former international student to share their expertise with other international students who will soon start their job and internship search process, and also sessions that help students, not only international students, but even students with global experience through study abroad or education abroad or traveling, really is to how to put your study abroad to work. How do you translate some of those skills from abroad to the US context? On top of a lot of these kind of international student specific programmings, I have also been very intentional about creating space for international students to connect with us outside of the Career Center walls. I know, like right now, especially since after COVID, virtual meetings, it's a norm, but other than really meeting virtually and connecting with us in the Career Center space, I've also made myself available in hosting international student drop-in hours at the Into space so that students can actually come chat with me about anything career-related in a more casual setting. One thing that I often hear from international students, or deep down, they feel that way, is every time when you talk about Career Center, it sounds very intimidating. It's like, I don't need to think about this. I have a couple years to go for undergrad, or grad is like, oh, well, I need to focus in school. I can't kind of divide my attention at this point to focus on something else. Like, I have time. But career is actually throughout the entire Suffolk experience. And how are we able to actually meet them where they are and provide them moments where we can actually get them to start thinking about the importance of having that career mindset, thinking about being very goal-oriented ultimately. What do you want to achieve after you complete your degree? And what is really the purpose of you coming here? And how can we make sure that you are able to leverage not only the academic prestige of the degree from Suffolk, but also your, again, international superpower to set you up for success down the road? My work obviously specifically targets the population as its own in supporting providing equitable resources for international students so that they know they need to take into consideration that complexity as they continue to think about job and internship search or even career development, career exploration. But I also happen to be someone who has been very intentional about making sure that taking advantage of population-specific events is not enough for them. While that is maybe a baseline where you wanted to make sure that you can be just as competitive and knowledgeable about the U.S. job market, job search strategy, all of that as a domestic student or candidate, I always would recommend them to also explore industry-specific opportunities as well, because ultimately they are here to pursue a degree in a certain industry and they needed to know those specifics in order to set them up for success from a part of people who share similar background. And so I've been very intentional about referring those students to connect with our colleagues from the Career Communities team and to make sure that they are really building a team of support throughout their career development journey instead of solely asking or recognizing that they only need the international student knowledge on their career development journey, because that is not sufficient to kind of set them apart. Just because what we are trying to do here, especially having such a large team working with such diverse Suffolk student population, is to make sure that we are able to provide a wraparound holistic experience for students in receiving the services that they could make the most out of their Suffolk degree, just like what you have mentioned.
I'm also incredibly proud of the way that you've enhanced our partnership with the Center for International Education and Study Away. I think that bringing in our graduate fellows to also engage with students and learn during that CPT, OPT workshops that we're all partnering to ensure their success. I think that's something that has grown very much so in the last few years. And so that's one of those partnerships that I really hold dear, because I think that's something that shows each office on campus has a role to play in advancing the graduate outcomes for our students. So thank you.
Certainly. And to add on to that, I think that was a perfect opportunity really for international students to recognize that our office at the Career Center, we at the Career Center are open to collaborating with the ISSO office to make sure that we are synergizing so that you don't feel like you have to navigate this very decentralized higher education system on your own. While we understand that there are nuances with your visa and immigration statuses, we wanted to make sure that you are able to draw the connection between knowing what is CPT and OPT and knowing that the Career Center is trying to can come into the picture to support you on that process as you navigate your CPT, OPT application process or navigate how to take into consideration timeline in a lot of these very complex immigration benefits that an F1 student or a J1 student may be able to benefit from. And so while you may still have to go to multiple offices to ask for multiple questions, I think that the partnership that we have with the Center for International Education and Study Away really is to help streamline the process a little bit. Whenever you have questions, if the Career Center can answer, we're happy to, loop in ISSO, the International Student Services Office, and vice versa, to make sure that we are talking, you are talking, and you will be provided with the most informed information to help with your career development.
If I were to give an international student any advice, I think for me it would be that to understand that you come into every space that you exist in with so much value to add. And I think that that's something that we have to remind students sometimes, because there's always that fear of what's going to happen next, And many times you'll be all right. If you were to add to that and give advice to international students, what would you add?
Yeah, great question. I'm trying to think about where to start. But I've been thinking about this a lot, is that as an international student myself in my past life and working with so many international students, international students are often the very type A organized, forward-thinking individual out there. They are all bright, shiny stars out there. But sometimes I feel like we are so worried about what is going to happen in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years without recognizing that right now, the present is also very important. And so as you continue to, there's one, how would I put this? While right now is a time where you're probably like, I'm so overwhelmed with academic, I barely have time to have a social life, to build a community and all of that. On top of that, I still need to like learn all the visa things and learn the US way of life, learn about professional branding. I have to network and all of that. Like, how do I manage all of those? And so I would say start early, and it is never too early to start. And on top of that, it is never too late to start.
True. Better late than never.
Totally. And really, is the earlier you start thinking about it, or just planting a seed, or just putting something on your list and say, this is going to be on my to-do list, but that is not your priority just yet. Let's say first semester, you got to campus, you get through orientation, you got through the first 2 weeks of class, and you are already very overwhelmed with work and reading, and career fair might already be coming up for some of those who may be in programs that have a rather advanced recruiting timeline. How do you go about that? How will you learn about it? And so I think really starting early, asking all the questions that you have early on, would always set you up for success. On top of that, there are research who has already shown that people who were able to remain in the United States beyond their graduation for all kinds of reason, mostly because of their career advancement, employment, and all of that, they wish they knew about their visa options and immigration options way ahead so that they don't feel trapped or they don't feel stuck. So that you have options. It gives you a different perspective when you know about what are some of the options. And that would also spark you into thinking about the possibility of parallel planning, the importance of parallel planning. What is your backup plan? You may have a plan A and plan B, but I would ask you about plan C, plan D, plan E, just because that is how I think that that's how I create my safety net for myself. The US way of life, I know people would be like, I want to bring my whole authentic self to work. I wanted to, you know, be myself and be able to shine like a star in the US context still, but like, I'm not getting interviews. But what I've been telling students, really, the advice really is you lift the US way of life to get through the door, and then you evaluate whether a company or an employer or a space is actually a good fit for you, and kind of go from there. Sometimes we wanted to plan ahead and say, my big dream is to work for, say, Apple in 2 years, 5 years. But, you know, things may happen. Visa may hit you in the face. H-1B is a lottery system, and you never know what's going to happen. I happen to be someone who never has the luck, and so I decided to go and bypass the H-1B lottery side of things and pursue opportunities within the H-1B kept exempt category. And I became informed in those options because I started to learn about my visa and immigration options early, and it really paid back. And so to really summarize it, it's start early or never feel too late to start. Always ask question. Know your visa options. Really know what is available out there. Keep an open mind, especially, and play the game to get through the door, and then we can do the evaluation next.
All right. Well, there we go. There you have it. Thank you for the conversation, Vicky.
Thank you. Glad to be here, and thank you so much, Ade, for providing us some insight.
Thanks for listening. Check out our website at suffolk.edu/career-center and follow us on social media at suffolk_careers.